Good afternoon. The meeting of the Veterans Affairs Committee, we have a quorum, so the committee is in session. Representative Bliss, would you like to lead us in a pledge of allegiance?
Absolutely. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So this morning we have two bills to be heard, and we have several agencies will be speaking. My understanding is that the microphones are not working well in here, especially the microphones at the testifier's desk. So if you are coming up to make a presentation, please speak loudly so we can make sure that everyone can hear it. And with that, I would like to ask Representative Edelson to come up and with anyone you have to testify on your bill. Okay. And while you're getting settled, I'd like to move the minutes for the last meeting. All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Good. Thank you. The minutes are approved. Representative Edelson, if you would briefly go over your bill for us. We have quite a few testifiers today, so I'm hoping that these two bills move along rather quickly. I move House File 112 be laid over for possible inclusion, so your bill is ready to be presented, Representative.
Mr. Chair, I just clarification. It's 122, correct? I heard 112. I just don't know.
It is 122.
Thank you. All right. Well, Mr. Chair and members, this bill appropriates from the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs $540,000 in the fiscal year of 2024 from the general fund. This would be used to do approximately 75,000 meals for about 200 recipients. This is a specifically targeted making sure that Meals on Wheels is delivering meals to veterans in their homes. Meals on Wheels is a great program that it not only brings hot meals to seniors and veterans, but the Metro Meals on Wheels, who I have the executive director with me today, I just want to say, as a therapist in my background, it's just such a great way, as we see our seniors and aging population stay in their home longer, to have a good touch point to make sure that they're getting that social connection. I have my mother-in-law and a lot of the people in her condo just really love the Meals on Wheels program, and I'm really honored to be here today and support this. So I would love to move to my testifier.
If you would give us your name and then proceed with the testimony, please.
My name is Patrick Rowan. I'm the executive director of Metro Meals on Wheels. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for having us here today. Metro Meals on Wheels works with 30 other nonprofits in the Twin Cities area, from Hastings in the southeast to St. Michael in the northeast. Last year, we served over 1.7 million meals to 12,000 seniors and people living with disabilities in that area, which is an increase of over 50% from 2019. Over 17,000 people volunteered to ensure that their neighbors received a warm meal and a smile. And we know that without this vital service, many of them would be either in a nursing home or other institution and suffering from the illnesses that they endure. Surprisingly, only a fraction of those are veterans. 163 veterans are currently receiving Meals on Wheels. While there's over 500 veterans, according to the commissioner, here in the Twin Cities that are living in VA-funded housing. So these and others, we look to reach out to those individuals through their suicide prevention program and partnering with the VA to make sure that they do get that daily meal and that human connection that's so important for them to remain independent. Like the traditional neighbors helping neighbors that Meals on Wheels is, we see this as a program of veterans helping veterans. Meals on Wheels is possible because of partnerships between nonprofits, volunteers, philanthropy, and government. Medicaid pays for about a third of the meals delivered through Meals on Wheels, and the Older Americans Act pays for about another third, and the remainder is possible through philanthropy. However, established funding resources are limited. and oftentimes difficult to qualify for. So, for example, the Older Americans Act, you must be over the age of 60 in order to qualify. We know that there are many people younger than that that would benefit from this program. House File 122 would create an opportunity to work directly with Veterans Affairs to identify 200 veterans, regardless of age, that would benefit from Meals on Wheels and serve them a warm, nutritious meal 5 days a week. Metro Meals on Wheels is uniquely qualified to coordinate this effort with the VA. As I mentioned before, we have partnerships throughout the Twin Cities, and we have the capacity to serve an additional 200 people, if not the resources, to provide more veterans. We oversaw over a 50% increase during the pandemic and continue to field more requests every day. We coordinate the production, the delivery, and as well as the collection and client information for meals over 2,000 meals a day, and reporting and oversight for Medicare and the Older Americans Act. So thank you for your time today. I encourage you to support and pass House File 122.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Rowan. I understand Representative Olson, would you like to ask a question?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the testifier, you answered a lot of the questions that I originally had regarding this bill, but I need a little bit of clarification. So you stated that there's 163 veterans that are already being provided with meals, and you're talking about how this additional $500,000 that will go towards paying for 200 more. So the answer is going to be we're looking at having 363 veterans that we're going to be feeding on a daily basis, as opposed to just taking now with this money we can do 200. So the 163 that we're already providing, 200 minus 163 is 47 additional veterans. We're not doing that. We are going to be at 363 more or less. That's where we're going to be.
Expectation, yes.
Perfect. And you said, if Mr. Chair, if you continue, and you stated that that your organization has the ability to scale up to the tune of $500,000 a year?
Yes, we do have that capacity.
Perfect. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Olson. You know, I have a question also regarding your outreach. How do you plan on reaching the additional veterans?
Chair Newton, thank you for your question. We plan to work closely with the VA. Like I said, there's several facilities in the Twin Cities area. And their suicide prevention program. So we would work with them and the housing that they subsidize that's not in their facilities.
Okay, thank you. Representative Weens.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And this sounds like a great program. I'm curious just with your last comment, will it be veterans that are delivering the Meals on Wheels to other veterans, and or will those personnel have some type of mental health training so they're able to provide an extra service?
Thank you, Representative Olson. Yes, all of our volunteers do receive training on how to, you know, recognize difficult situations, how to work with meal recipients, and I think that's one of the exciting things about the program. We've been in discussion about working with the VA to identify veterans that are capable of delivering meals and have the opportunity to take an hour or so out of their day to make that connection. So we think there's just a great opportunity just to multiply that social benefit of Meals on Wheels with a veteran serving veteran.
Just one follow-up question. And the reporting for this, will this go back through the Department of Veterans Affairs and be reported back to the legislature on the success of the program?
Representative Olson, thank you.
Weens.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry?
Weens.
Weens, pardon me. I'm sorry.
I know we look a lot alike.
I can't see your name right there.
I
apologize. yes, we would the funds would go through Veterans Affairs and we would report on the use of those funds.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Good. Thank you. Are there any other questions? Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you. So just a question, because I'm trying to clarify or understand how this works. But the veterans currently being served qualify just under your general Meals on Wheels means tested, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so my additional question is, with this new money, how would they qualify? Is there any qualification aside from being a veteran? Is it means tested, age tested? How would they qualify? What if there's more veterans than this amount of money can provide for? Or what if there's less, and what happens to that money then?
Yeah, Mr. Rowan.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bennett, thank you for your question. Meals on Wheels is fairly reactive. We promote Meals on Wheels generally in the community, and folks that reach out to us saying that they need help are able to receive that. Fortunately, we don't have any waiting lists. We don't deny people service. We figure out a way to make sure that they get served. With this program, we look to be a little more proactive in reaching out to veterans that may need assistance. So this funding would help those individuals. We're not looking to take folks off of other programs and add them to this and supplant other funding. We want to be able to reach more individuals in need, and this would allow us to do that for that population that would benefit greatly.
Good, thank you. Any other questions?
Yes, Representative Wolf.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I just came up with this one just recently. So my last question is, obviously this bill pertains to Meals on Wheels within the metropolitan area of the state. There are, in fact, veterans all over the state, and I know that's not your purview, so maybe to the author of the bill, is there some coordination? Do the other Meals on Wheels not need that funding, or is this just step one and hoping to make step two a more broad?
Representative Edelson.
Mr. Chair, Representative. It's the Seven County Metro that Metropolitan Meals on Wheels deals with. And I guess I would go to the executive director on how they're collaborating. But the one other thing I just want to highlight for the committee, which I found was very interesting when we had this bill last year and we're vetting it out to make sure that it would work out, that they also, Metro Meals on Wheels, screens to figure out, they'll have like a question on their application whether or not somebody is a veteran, so that even if they didn't go, say, and find out about the program through Veterans Affairs, that they would also find just being a veteran, filling out the form, that they would be able to flag that way and make sure they're connecting with other resources. But Executive Director, would you be able to talk about other parts of Minnesota?
I can. Thank you, Representative.
Mr. Rowan.
Yes, there's two primary providers outside of the metro area, Lutheran Social Services, who already has a robust partnership with Veterans Affairs and Catholic Charities. So we do coordinate with each other. What we're looking to do with this funding is show proof of concept, be able to serve the highest concentration of veterans in the state, and hopefully expand it beyond the metro in partnership with those other organizations.
Good. Any additional questions? Are there any other testifiers who want to come forward? Good, seeing none, thank you both. House File 122, so I'll renew my motion to that House File 122 be laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you very much. Now we have Representative Lissigard. Make sure I get the right number this time on House File 311. And if you have someone to testify, Representative.
Well, good. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. You can go ahead and move the bill, Representative Lissigard.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. With that, if you would like to give us your testimony.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. All bills are important, but especially when I'm presenting them for Greater Minnesota. Veterans on the Lake is a nonprofit, one-of-a-kind wilderness resort located just outside of Ely in the Superior National Forest across the lake from the Boundary Waters. Their mission is to reduce the barriers, provide safe access for recreational experience for disabled veterans and other disabled persons. In 2021, the legislature appropriated $50,000 to create a program aiding disabled veterans from around the state of Minnesota to have this experience. I have a few testifiers that would like to talk about it. Before I do, I just want to say that it's an incredible program that is touching people's lives. And when we talk about the men and women who serve our country and gave the ultimate sacrifice, this is one of these programs that is excelling to give these people the opportunity that they need. And I couldn't be more proud to stand here with them and present this to you.
Thank you, Representative Lisgard. And if you're a testifier, if you would give us your name and go ahead with your testimony.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Eric Marinen. I'm chairman of the board of directors for Ventures on the Lake Resort. As Representative Lisgard mentioned, we are a nonprofit resort. We're located in the Superior National Forest, just outside of the boundary waters. And we've been in business operating since 1982, 40 years of operation. And our focus right now is to reduce the barriers and provide an outdoor experience for the people, our guests, the veterans, for the state of Minnesota. My personal involvement, I've been on the board of directors for 6 years. And since that time, we've moved forward with reducing those barriers, particularly at the resort. We have done a couple of projects. Right now, we're in the process of renovating two cabins, making them handicap accessible where they weren't before. We've created a trail system in the woods covered with chips for those people with mobility issues so they can access the outdoors. We have also taken our pontoon boat fleet. Basically, we've stripped all the chairs out, created an open space. We've made them wheelchair accessible. We've moved forward with building a fish house with a handicap access. We have a couple on site now. And we give an opportunity to those people in the winter months to go ice fishing. So we're moving forward slowly but surely to try and improve the access for people that have been injured. Last year, we had 8,386 guests. Of those 8,300, 6,712 were veterans. 3,964 were disabled veterans. And I don't want to mislead you that disabled veteran number, these are Forest Service reporting numbers. We work in partnership with the Forest Service. They own the land. We lease the buildings. And so we need to report the numbers of people we use. And that 3,900 number, that includes their health, the healthcare workers that assist them. That's part of the disabled number according to the Forest Service numbers. We also provided an opportunity for 164 disabled civilians to come. Most of them were belonging to the Minnesota Sled Hockey Team. On a community basis, we have a heated pool, the only one in the area, and we allow a swim class, so to speak, a water aerobics class. We host that. We've allowed other things to happen at a resort. During the forest fire season 2 years ago, U.S. Forest Service used it as their base camp. And I'd just like to thank Representative Lisgard for carrying this bill forward. It was introduced in 2021. We sponsored a number of people for that money. And I'll have the general manager elaborate on the numbers that we had. I believe there's a handout in front of you. And so, any questions of me?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the testifier, you know, this kind of stuff just means a lot to me. But one thing that is really important, I believe, when we're talking about veterans, is the idea of where in the bill it says including therapy. So it talks about transportation, which is good, and it talks about activities, which is great. You know, I always love it when I can go to the restaurant and they give me a military discount. That's really great. I like that activity. But more than anything, when we're talking about our veterans, including therapy means a great deal to me. It actually means more to me than any of the other options that are on this bill. Can you provide to me some stories? How do you implement that aspect of this? Because that's the most important thing to me and to most soldiers, most veterans, is that including therapy. Can you just give me an idea of what you do to implement that?
Okay. Mr. Mayor, not.
One instance is, thank you, Representative Olson. One instance is when the Iowa PVA group comes up, there are people from basically all over the central part of the Midwest. And they come to the resort and they spend a week. And We've had testimony from those in attendance that it's magical. These are people who are wheelchair bound, unable. They're like little kids coming to the resort, a 10-year-old kid who has an opportunity to get in a wheelchair, sit on a pontoon boat, and cast the rod with one hand that's functional. And I think our general manager will be able to elaborate more, but we do that. We recently created those trails in the woods. They provide a spot for seclusion where a person can go with his family. If you have an electric wheelchair, I've sat in one, negotiated the trail. It's a little bit tippy, but if you've got a good quality electric wheelchair with the tracks, you have no problem getting out there and enjoying the basically seclusion of the outdoors. To provide kayaks, some of the kayaks have the Hobie system. In case you don't have any arms, you can still maneuver the kayak. We provide a number of, I really can't elaborate too much that our guests, when they come up, this is a place that they can get away. This is a place they're treated normal. We don't discriminate. We don't create a barrier. If we find a barrier, we remove it. And we keep moving forward with removing those barriers.
Thank you, Mr. Marinon. Representative Bliss.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Real quickly, you mentioned the Iowa PBA. Don't need to be nitpicking, but is the Minnesota taxpayer funding the Iowa veterans as well, or is that funded through a different source?
No, the last piece of legislation was specific to Minnesota.
Okay, thank you very much.
Specific to Minnesota, and that's what we used it for.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good question. Yes, Representative Wines.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think probably to the author. I'm excited about anything that we can do for our veterans, and there's so many different things that we can do, whether it's the Meals for Wheels or whether it's a retreat like you have up in Ely. But with many veterans, they want to know that it's open to all, it's efficacious, and is there a report that will come back from the rest area resort through MDA so that we can get a regular report and hear the anecdotal stories about veterans? I would love to hear that. Is that part of the bill?
Mr. Maynard, or Representative Lisgard.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know, but I totally agree with you, and if it's not, maybe that is something that we can include through their program.
I'd love to work with you on that if it's a friendly amendment. And I'd like to possibly say if it's possible for us to view or do a recon at some point, this committee, I'd love to do that. I'd be the first one to sign up.
Is that a
thank
motion?
You, Mr. Chair.
I'm sure we could get a tour of the entire range. If we get
yes, you can.
Good. And you have additional testifiers. If they would like to come down, please.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Maynard. Good afternoon. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Andy Birkenpass. I am the general manager for Veterans on the Lake Resort. Started my tenure with them in 2021 and worked through this grant program fully and officially, the last program that we were granted by you. I will say it made a huge impact, not just in our demographic, but the entire state of Minnesota. As a former leader of the Iowa Paralyzed Veterans of America, dealing with spinal cord injured vets for 22 years, and coming to this particular facility that long, I knew the resort could be better, we could do more things, but we needed funding to do that. So that's been my mission as the GM. Through your program, catering only to Minnesota veterans, we're able to take veterans from all over the state of Minnesota, not just one specific area, and involve them with each other. And what that does is it improves mental health awareness, and it also improved networking among veterans who are sometimes afraid to come into theater as of this nature and talk about these things. So that was very important to us. And some of those aha moments were Vietnam veteran A and Vietnam veteran B were in the same area at the same time during the thing. So very, very neat things and experiences that I've had as employment with veterans on Lake Resort. We saw, if you look at your handout, we were able to help. Let me read it right. 41 Minnesota veterans that we served, and we worked directly with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Liz Kelly was our bill sponsor last year. We had to perform a documentation process, which was a DD-214, social security number, driver's license, and a home address for each veteran. I will say we met some resistance with this process, but all in all, we served 41 veterans out of this grant. The veterans on the lake served 27 veterans. Ourselves, we sponsored 27 because they did not meet the criteria of what a Minnesota veteran is. Which to my understanding, in short term, is boots on the ground. I'm wondering if this committee can also change some of that language for us to be able to support some of these people. We're going to do what we can to help the veterans of the state of Minnesota specifically. Obviously, we're a small 501c3 and can't do it. I ask you for your help. And we are very diversified, as we had 13 women come up on one retreat and serve them as well. So, great networking throughout the community of Minnesota, not the Iron Range, the community of Minnesota.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Birkenfuss. Are there any questions? Representative Bliss.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate this bill. I have one coming that's similar, another veterans retreat. But I do want to just mention that we have another veteran that joined us who is the representative from that area, and that's Representative Scraba. If you wave to him, he's a fellow veteran, and that is in his area, and he's going to be supporting this bill along the way as well. So that's all I had. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good.
Welcome, Representative Scraba. Representative Houdana.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've been to Veterans on the Lake. It's fantastic. Just a couple of questions on the business side, just for my own curiosity. What's the annual operating budget for Veterans on the Lake?
Our operating budget varies upon year to year. Obviously, the COVID years affected all of us, so we lost money that year. I would say we have about $600,000 to $800,000 that passes through our books on a yearly basis. Of course, as a nonprofit, our funds that come in, we want to improve resort amenities that go out.
Sure, and just a couple follow-on questions. So you're big enough then to require an external audit every year. Typically, you'll hit that $750,000 threshold. So through that audit process, you should have a charitable giving ratio. Do you have any idea what that charitable giving ratio is?
I couldn't tell you what that is.
Okay. Again, love Veterans on the Lake. I've been there. I think it's important just for transparency's sake. I would suggest, hey, find out what that number is and know it.
I can tell you what I fundraised last year as a whole. It's $248,000.
Sure. Well, fundraising is different. As the taxpayers and just having some knowledge in the nonprofit realm, I think important for donors and for us as a committee and for taxpayers to know that that money's being used responsibly, that you hit a certain threshold in that charitable giving percentage.
If you can hold just a minute, if you would, please go through the chair.
Yeah, sorry, Mr. Chair.
It's nice to have the dialogue, but. Please proceed.
So my second year into this, I'm kind of new to everything. It was on a slippery slope when I started. Now we're seeing funds come in, of course, and I'm very glad to be able to approach all of you today, and I'm very willing to approach everybody today, including talking to Roger, working with the costing group to do these things. So I encourage everybody to follow us. We have a Facebook page. We're very active on it. We show our projects. We show where our money goes. I encourage you to watch your money grow, Veterans of Lake.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Are there any other questions? If not, we have one more testifier. Thank you. We have one more testifier, Nate Burr, I believe. Mr. Burr, if you would identify yourself and then proceed with your testimony.
Yes, I'm Nathan Burr. Chair Newton, distinguished committee members, it is a pleasure to be here with you guys today. Thank you for the community support to all veterans, veterans organizations, and of course, veterans on the Lake Resort. I'm a 21-year member of the Minnesota National Guard, and I'm still currently serving. I have three combat tours, many overseas training events, and state active duty missions throughout my career. I've been on the Veterans on the Lake Board of Directors for just over a year. As an avid outdoorsman, Veterans on the Lake has great importance to not only myself, but many family and my fellow veterans. Recently returned from deployment in 2019, followed by some tragic events within my unit. Ended up losing six members of my unit in a period of 18 months. So needless to say, it was a tough time for myself as a commander. And Veterans on the Lake allowed me to reconnect with my family. It forced family time and allowed me to reconnect with my family in a very healthy and important way. The healing power of the wilderness environment that surrounds Veterans on Lake is impactful and is noticeable, as you all know, and as the Iron Range is definitely a testament to. In today's world of veterans, generational gaps sometimes act as a barrier to connection and relationship building. I've seen this barrier disappear at Veterans on the Lake. I was able to participate last year as a veteran with this grant program with one of these scholarships. The time that we had at Veterans on the Lake, I will cherish with my fellow brothers in arms forever. We took a group of individuals that were struggling with dealing with things that had been going on in the past few years, and we were able to spend some quality time together. Representative Olson, to your point on therapy, I don't think there's any better therapy than veteran-on-veteran conversations, understanding those relationships and those circumstances. Even though we may have served in different eras, different wars, different time frames, we all have that common thread and are able to help each other through issues like that. I had the distinct privilege to be part of multiple of these events and see veterans that were affected and seeing individuals that came in and sat by themselves in our dining facility to be in the life of the party by the end of the week in that dining facility with other veterans was very impactful and definitely made it worth our time in doing this. House File 311 matters, and it helps veterans from all areas connect, share, heal, and grow. Veterans on the Lake sets the conditions and the environment for this to occur, and this funding allows for the most comprehensive approach for this desired outcome. Thank you for consideration and your support.
Thank you, Mr. Burr. Are there any questions? Representative Weins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, thanks for your service, and obviously, Veterans on the Lake Resort, it does a great job. I'm curious, just on the therapy side of this, and maybe you don't have this all figured out quite yet, but the types of licensed therapy and the focus that you plan to utilize this funding for, if you could describe that, or if you have a witness that could describe that, I would be curious.
Representative Lisgard?
Mr. Chair, I would have to defer to the director, I would assume.
Oh. Yes, Mr. Burr.
Mr. Chair, so we partner with our County Veteran Service Officer up in the Ely area, and that helps us connect with those resources. We don't have a direct licensed individual that comes to the resort, per se as an employment portion, but we work directly with our County Veteran Service Officer. Our administrator at the lodge has a good relationship with that individual, and they are actually talking weekly to help veterans that come in and out of the resort as guests. So that's one of the areas that we use.
What follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Yes, thank you for that. And is the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program active in the Ely area and utilized just as you do with the Veterans Service Organization?
Mr. Baer?
Not directly in the Ely area, but the surrounding communities. So Virginia, Duluth, we have access to have those. We haven't had a large presence of Beyond the Yellow Ribbon yet, but we're continuing to work that. And a follow-on to the first question, there is a VA clinic in Ely as well that has supported many veterans that have come up and stayed at our resort.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Good. Do you have any other testifiers?
I don't, Mr. Chair, but if I may, you know, my colleague, Representative Scrava, is a veteran, and he's very passionate about this bill. So if you would indulge, and I could ask him to come up and say a few words as the former mayor of Ely.
He doesn't seem to be so inclined, but if he wants to come up.
Oh, no, he's Scrava. Inclined. He tapped me on the shoulder.
Yeah. Representative Scrava, please identify yourself.
Yes, my name is Roger Scrava. I'm the sitting state rep for District 3A, which encompasses Veterans on the Lake. I was the former mayor of Ely. We were very instrumental getting the new VA clinic in Ely upgraded. It is a fantastic facility. And I can't help but I break down every time I talk about this, but Saturday night I met Andrew with how many guys?
Nine
service members who hadn't seen each other in 8 years. Oh. And they had the opportunity to bond. And if we can keep any of those people from taking their life,
yeah,
he can't put enough money on it for me. And the what he said about the wilderness, I guide canoe trips for a living. So I see this every time I go in the woods. I'm part of it. It is a magical place. But watching these veterans come and break those barriers down, and it would be great to see another bill someday to have money for psychologists to be there. It would be a wonderful. I'm telling you, this facility is unbelievable. It changes people's lives. And any support that they can get to keep going, it's phenomenal. And to watch these eight individuals the other night that hadn't seen each other, it was, I'm like, you know, this is what it's about. To me, that's what Veterans on the Lake is about, bringing these guys and gals together. I met a gal one time. She had PTSD, and I said, what did you do? She said, I did records. I go, what? She said, all I did is I did records. I filed records. She said, I had to contact every family member that passed away. And I went, oh. And I looked at her, and I understand how deep all this goes and what she was doing in Ely with her family, similar to what the commander was doing, just trying to detune, trying to find where's ground again. So any opportunity that I have to support this facility, I will be there standing tall and doing my thing. Sorry, I break up. I want to save people. We had so many veterans from the range that came back and took their lives, and my friends that didn't take their lives, they're brothers, and I talked to them about it, and it's like, if there's any way I can help to save someone, one person's enough for me. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Representative.
Yeah, and any questions, feel free. Thanks.
Are there any questions at all? Representative Strombauer or Representative Listergaard, or the testifiers? Seeing none, would you like to renew your motion, Representative?
I would, and I would like, in my closing remarks, you know, you'll often hear me say, see it, feel it, and touch it to be able to truly understand it. And people don't care what you know until they know you care. He cares, they care, and I couldn't think of a better program than this. So I renew my motion, and I would appreciate all the support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Scar. Thank you, Representative.
Off of capital investments. Thank you.
Okay. So the bill is laid over for possible inclusion. Good. And now we have some presentations. I believe Trent Dilks is coming up first. Please. And for each of you, if you would remember to speak loudly in the microphone so we can hear. Mr. Dilks, please identify yourself.
Mr. Chair, I'm, is that volume all right? Yeah. All right, we're getting there. I'm Trent Dilks. I'm the legislative director for the DAV of Minnesota. I'm also representing the Commander's Task Force. And I have along with me to introduce himself the chair of the Commander's Task Force and the commander of the state DAV.
Please identify yourself.
Yes, thank you, Chair Newton. My name is Mick Aguirre. I'm a combat Vietnam veteran, United States Marine Corps. And then when I walk by a memorial here, I can trace the names of five individuals that I know personally. And I think the reason, one of the reasons maybe why I was spared was to go ahead and don't forget them and push for veterans' benefits and all the rights that they deserve. So I kind of made that my life calling. I've been involved with Vietnam veterans, VFW, American Legions. I'm a member of all of them and the DAV. I've worked with the Commander's Task Force. I was fortunate enough to be elected as the chairman. And we work with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the County Veteran Service Officers, and many other people that are supportive of veterans. I'd like to have the legislative agenda directed to Trent Dilks because he has 7 years experience and maybe 9 years at the legislative tables. So I'd like to do that now, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate your invitation to speak, and I look forward to working with all of you.
Thank you, and congratulations on your election as head of the
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Mr. Chair, start out a little overview of the Commander's Task Force. And I've got to read this off because if I miss a name, the group will let me know. The Commander's Task Force is made up of the Disabled American Veterans, the American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars, Military Order of the Purple Heart, Jewish War Veterans, AMVETS, Paralyzed Veterans of America, and the Marine Corps League. It's a group that I haven't run across in a lot of other states. Some are two or three groups get together and try to do some work at the state level as I've traveled the country. But here you have the 8 congressionally chartered service organizations in Minnesota really coming together to put together a legislative agenda, to provide testimony, and to provide feedback to lawmakers. So it's unique to get all of the congressionally chartered organizations into a group like that, and very proud of the work that we do. This is made up of the commanders and then of the full-time staff as well. So some have an adjutant or a quartermaster, and then there are legislative people like me who do some of the nerdy stuff and take the notes. They meet year-round, and they get input and discussion from leaders in the veterans world. So the head of the VISN for the VA might come in and brief this group. The head of VBA, Veterans Benefits Administration, comes in and provides an update to this group of commanders. They have a lot of pull because of the size of the organization, the 200,000 members in Minnesota, give or take, members of those organizations. So they're able to get some important people, the director of the Minneapolis VA, and throughout the veterans world that come in and present to these commanders to let them know what's going on and to answer sometimes some difficult questions when our veterans aren't getting the care or treatment that they deserve. So it's a very effective organization that can speak with a strong voice. They also have a quarterly meeting with the governor to talk about things going on here in Minnesota and provide feedback on those as well. Really been focused on, and they work on issues such as veteran suicide, homelessness, a more expansive list as time has gone on. If there are inadequacies in care or access to care, at any time the Commander's Task Force may call for somebody to come and speak to them on this, provide information. Vets' homes is something they look closely at, and the staffing levels and things like that, so they're consistently kind of keeping on MDVA to find out where we're at with that and that our veterans are getting the access and level of care that they deserve. They have put out their Commander's Task Force legislative priorities. I believe one has been supplied. If not, I will send an email over to the committee. But a booklet of the Commander's Task Force priorities. I'm just going to touch on a couple of them very quickly. Pass the Clean Veterans Omnibus Bill. That is the top priority coming out of this. They would like to see a Veterans Omnibus Bill passed like we did last year. It set the standard. Except for that one unfortunate lawmaker who voted against it, it was unanimous in the House and Senate. And so we'd like to see that happen again. I've been here 9 years. It's very hard to watch things like the work I did on for surviving spouses to stay in their homes. I worked with you while you were in the Senate on that. And to watch that fail for 5 years through no fault of its own. We had surviving spouses sit at this table who told this committee they were going to lose their homes because they couldn't afford, because there is that expiration date on the property tax exclusion. And for 5 years, through no fault of its own, it was put in bill after bill that was vetoed or never made it to the light of day. It was never considered on its own merits. So passing legislation independently, or if it fits into the Veterans Omnibus Bill, is the only way, in a nonpartisan way, to treat our veterans, their survivors, and their families. We're looking at making some changes to the property tax value exclusion. That has been set and fixed for a long time now. Their levels have not gone up. Home values have skyrocketed. We're getting contacted by veterans who are on a fixed income, 100% permanent total, are on a fixed income, and are unable to afford an increasing property tax bill. So we'd like to see that go up. We're talking about $400,000, $200,000, and doing some work on that. Also, right now, that statute reads within 2 years of the death of the veteran. I was actually in the room 7 years ago when we drafted it. It was a mistake. It was supposed to be 2 years of the award of the benefit, but I think we used an acronym that threw the whole thing off. Anyway, words matter. All of our Blue Water Navy veterans who were just added, many of them who just finally, after 30 years of being told no benefits, many of them died outside of a two-year window, but their surviving spouses just got benefits. The Honoring Our PACT Act and the 23 new illnesses that we've added for Gulf War and post 9/11 veterans and those with toxic exposure, many of them died more than 2 years ago. The current statute leaves them out in the cold, so we need it to be within 2 years of the award. Really, that's, I want to touch on that. I'm going to switch to the DAV now, the Disabled American Veterans, if that's all right, Mr. Chair. I'm
please
presenting on both, and then I'll answer any questions. All right. I'm the legislative director for the DAV. I've been with the DAV, Disabled American Veterans, for 9 years. I won't bore you with a history lesson. We're over 100 years old. We've done a lot, but I'm more interested in telling you about what we're doing today for Minnesota's veterans, so that's where I'm going to focus this one on. Our biggest program, and hopefully many of you are familiar with it, I know we're in most of your communities. If we don't have a vehicle there, we can access them because we can access about 60 Minnesota counties with our transportation program. We've got 40 vehicles spread across the state providing absolutely free transportation to Minnesota's veterans to get the mental health, physical health care, and the services that they need, including when they're working with HUD, BASH, or one of those through the VA homelessness team. Those 40 vehicles, we have a staff that we support that is spread across the state that serve as access points. So we have one in the northwest, northeast, kind of central out of St. Cloud, a large team in the metro, one in the southeast, and then we're moving into the southwestern portion of the state as well. So we cover all of the major areas with this. The transportation is absolutely free. We will not accept money from our riders. We do not charge the VA for the transportation. There is no money exchanging hands for these rides. So we don't collect their travel pay if they're eligible, and we do not, we don't even suggest a donation. With everything that I'm gonna mention today, our services are absolutely kept separate from our fundraising. There's no suggested donation. At no point do we solicit the people that we provide service to. We just don't do it. We don't believe in it. We're a service organization for a purpose. Our transportation program, 40 vehicles, 917,000 miles last year. These are down a little bit. We were pre-COVID over 1 million miles a year in Minnesota, but we're getting back up there at 917,000 miles. 23,703 veteran transports. 23,703 transports to and from medical, mental health, and other appointments to help our veterans. 39,961 volunteer hours. All 40 of these vehicles are driven by the most amazing and dedicated volunteers any of you could ever meet. They are terrific. In some of the rural areas, we're talking about just two or three dedicated volunteers who are making five-hour one-way, 10-hour round trips, plus the amount of time it takes for a medical appointment if they're in the Twin Cities. Why this is so important is because of the centralized nature of VA healthcare. In Minnesota, you have two primary VA clinics in Minneapolis and in St. Cloud. Well, if you're in Ely or if you're in greater Minnesota somewhere, and you have to get to that specialist. They try to do some in community care, but there are certain things you must get to Minneapolis for. It's the only place you're going to get that care. If you're without transportation options in Ely, or you're without transportation options 10 miles outside of St. Cloud where I live, you are out of options. And so that's the vital service that this provides. Overall, the value of just the donated time, not including the miles, the vehicles, and things, is $1,196,000 provided by our volunteers that are transporting these veterans. And then we have an outdoors program. We believe in the therapeutic results of getting our veterans outdoors, but this is not a therapy program. We don't bring in mental health professionals. We don't advertise this as a therapy program. We believe that it is the best possible thing we can do is to get the veterans outdoors, but we don't mix that with therapeutic. This is for enjoyment, to reintroduce the outdoors, to find ways to watch veterans decompress. So we have houseboat trips, we have fishing trips. They just got back from ice fishing where they caught a bunch of fish. Again, all of these absolutely free. Took a group of Minnesota veterans out to Olympic National Park, took them hiking. Absolutely amazing program. Younger veterans, majority female veterans, women veterans that utilize that program because it involved kayaking out to the Apostle Islands, hiking in the Boundary Waters, and a trip out to Olympic National Park. We have claims and benefits. We have a full team at the Whipple Building that provides free claims and benefit services, some of the highest standard of service, 18 months in training just to become one of our service officers. And we have department service officers spread across the state to help. We're what's considered a power of attorney, a POA, and so we're able to take claims from the CVSOs and file them into the system and work with our county veteran service officers through the Whipple Building. We also have a foundation that gives out hundreds of thousands of dollars to support our mission in a broader way as far as support for places like MACV, who will be presenting later, for homelessness. We support outdoors, a really cool one that was introducing veterans to blacksmithing. So we find ways to support those. I heard the question earlier. As a nonprofit, we do open our books for a review. And our standard of giving is at 87.5 cents on the dollar. So we meet standards through charities review. We receive a small amount of funding from the state VSO grant. It makes up about 5% of our budget. We receive no funding or our money from the federal government or the VA for our transportation services. So the other 95% is fundraised, again, independently of everything that we do. Mr. Chair, if there are any questions, I'm happy to.
No, I think we're going to save questions until we've had a chance to hear from the various groups, just for the sake of time. So thank you very much, Mr. Dilks. Thank you for coming, and again, congratulations.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Next, we have Jennifer Havlick from the American Legion, I believe. Ms. Havlick, if you'd come forward. And if you would identify yourself for the record, please, and then proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Jennifer Havlick. I live in Two Harbors, Minnesota, and I'm the commander of the Department of American Legion of Minnesota. Chairman Newton and members of the committee, my name is Jennifer Havlick, and I'm an Army veteran and the commander of the American Legion. I wanted to thank you for this opportunity to testify on behalf of more than 60,000 Legionnaires in the Department of Minnesota. The Department of Minnesota Legion is, the Department of Minnesota Legion was chartered in 1919 following the charter of the National American Legion. Veterans across the United States and Minnesota band together in response to the lack of services for veterans and surviving widows and children. Their priority was to ensure that those permanently affected by their wartime service were provided with medical care and assistance to the widows and children of those who made the ultimate sacrifice. This priority is now known as the Veterans Administration and the GI Bill, along with other pieces of legislation, are the hallmark of the American Legion. Over the last 100 years, the American Legion has developed four pillars dedicated to veterans affairs and rehabilitation, national defense, Americanism, and children and youth. Through these pillars and the programs within them, our members live by our preamble. Much like the preamble of the Constitution of the United States, it reminds us of our mission and the promise we made to future generations. Our preamble begins with, "For God and country, we associate ourselves together for the following purposes. We are dedicated to upholding and defending the Constitution of the United States. Through our many Americanism programs and scholarships, we support law enforcement and first responders through awards and educational grants, allowing them to concentrate on protecting our communities. We foster and perpetuate a 100% Americanism through our support of scouting, oratorical speech contests, along with supporting educators through awards and recognition programs such as Education Week. Minnesota has hundreds of posts with veterans dedicated to their communities and each other. My job as their commander is to ensure that our citizen legislators, you, are clear on what we need to continue this vital work. Last year, your colleagues set aside their partisan politics and passed our first Veterans Omnibus Bill, dedicated to veterans and issues that directly affect them and their families. On behalf of all veterans in the state of Minnesota, we strongly urge you to stay the course this year. We have handed out the American Legion Department of Minnesota legislative priorities approved by our members. They speak directly to the needs of veterans across Minnesota. Our highest priority is our rate of veteran suicide. We believe that the numbers are much higher than reported through the Veterans Administration because they do not take into consideration those veterans who don't qualify for VA services, along with veterans who die as a result of alcohol abuse and drug addiction and overdose. The American Legion has established a suicide, the Department of Minnesota American Legion has established a suicide prevention coalition that is dedicated to providing to the prevention of veteran suicide. By providing awareness and action-oriented tools to assist our veterans and their families in time of crisis. Many of these, like our Buddy Check program and our Be the One campaign, are designed to intervene well before veterans meet what they believe is a point of no return and suicide is their only option. Our Veterans Assistance Program steps in when veterans are struggling financially. Our post, district, and department chaplains offer spiritual support and guidance. One of the things we need from this legislative body is to fund the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs suicide prevention programs. We also need to ensure that our veterans' hospitals and nursing facilities are fully staffed and functioning at peak performance. We ask that the monthly allowance given to shelter homeless veterans be increased so they can work towards being independent and self-sufficient. The current rules on monthly allowance encourages homelessness by taking federal benefits, income from veterans, and income pay for their shelter. Presently, veterans can enter the shelter and be left with just $111 a month, or they can choose to remain homeless and keep their money and pay their bills. Fixing this issue would go a long way to reducing the numbers of veterans' homelessness. The last year, House File 3568 and Senate File 3417 were introduced and had bipartisan support. We are hopeful they will pass this year in the Human Resources Bill. Our veterans need a bonding bill to support the replacement of six buildings at the Hastings Veterans Home, which has become dangerously outdated since it began as a mental health hospital in the very early 1900s. We are asking to amend the post 9/11 service bonus to ensure all veterans who served are properly recognized. These changes should also include the change that we recognize all current Minnesota resident veterans of that era, keeping it in line with all other states across the country. We believe it is time to increase the amount of disabled veterans' property tax value exclusion. This is especially necessary with the recent rocketing of home values. We would also encourage you to change the language so surviving spouses can apply within 2 years of the awarded benefits. And I believe the DAV spoke to that. There's even more we can do for our military families. We are encouraging you to limit the vehicle registration and fees for Gold Star spouses and children, as well as 100% disabled veterans. These families have already significantly sacrificed on behalf of our country and our citizens. Our veterans lead the way on taking care of our brothers and sisters in arms. Through service organizations like the American Legion, we step in to meet immediate needs and fill the gaps. We use charitable gambling proceeds to immediately address housing and food insecurities and a number of other needs veterans who show up at our post homes. We also use the funds to support local youth programs, but charitable gambling is taxed heavily, so there's less money we can use for these causes. To serve veterans we know local in our local communities. We've been asking for years for a reduction in charitable gambling taxes so we can better support our communities. We are asking for a zero property tax on our home posts. We are losing brick and mortar posts and buildings due to huge property tax. These posts' homes serve as community centers and meeting places for organizations within the community. After a post pays its property tax, they have no additional funds to pay for the repairs and improvements on their facilities. I invite you to spend some time with us on March 30th for Veterans Day on the Hill. This is your opportunity to visit with your Minnesota veterans and hear directly from them on the concerns they have. The Department of Minnesota American Legion leadership is always available if you have any questions or need us to testify on any of these issues of importance to our veterans and their families and the communities they serve. Finally, I would like to thank you again for this opportunity to speak with you and share our hopes for this year's legislative session.
Thank you, Commander. Sir, if you would like to, are you presenting or are you here in support?
No, sir, I'm just here in support in case she's asked a question and I can jot down the answer real quick. Okay. I am Mike Max, the adjutant of the Department of Minnesota.
Thank you. Okay, I think what we're going to do is proceed because we only have 20 minutes and we have four more presentations. So
thank you
very much. John Flores.
floor is over there. He stepped out.
Okay, is Vicki Garrison here? Okay, we're losing. We don't have four. Neil Lodewote. Let's see here. Sir Regal, I believe you're filling in for. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Please identify yourself and go ahead and proceed with the presentation.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Sarah Regal. I'm the Vice President of Property Operations for MACV, Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans. We are a 501c3 nonprofit operating throughout the state with a very simple mission. We look to end veteran homelessness in the state of Minnesota. I began with MACV just 6 months ago. Prior to that, I served the mission of ending homelessness in the state of Minnesota for 17 years. Prior to that, I worked in mental health, providing trauma-informed care for those who had experienced domestic violence and or PTSD. I am the very proud wife of a Air Force veteran. My daughter was born at Lackland Air Force Base, and I'm incredibly pleased to be here representing MACV today. MACV has served veterans experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness for the past 30 years. We coordinate comprehensive services around housing stability, employment, and legal services, and we do this statewide. MACV services cover the entire state with offices in St. Paul, Duluth, St. Cloud, Moorhead, Mankato, Minneapolis, Bemidji, as well as Rochester. The MACV team recently passed an incredible milestone. We now have 100 staff members working with us, about a third of which are veterans themselves. And they're incredibly devoted to ending veteran homelessness. We operate at this time 200 beds of transitional and permanent supportive housing units in Duluth, Hibbing, Mankato, St. Cloud, and of course the Twin Cities Metro. In the past year, we have added 40 units within the Twin Cities and an additional 10 in Greater Minnesota, with the potential or even more coming in 2023. This figure that I just mentioned to you, this shows an increase of 50 housing units since last year when our CEO, Neil Lloydell, spoke to this committee. We have another 50 currently in the works. Our partnerships with Lennar, Housing First, Minnesota Foundation, Hennepin County, and MDVA have led to an incredible increase of nearly double what MACV anticipated delivering when the state appropriation for veteran supportive housing operations was secured. A few statistics for us. In 2022, we enrolled 1,717 vets in our services at MACV. Of those, 63%. 49% are 55 years of age or older, 15% have children, 37% identify as veterans of color, and 12% are female veterans. 1,100 veterans received direct financial assistance from MACV in 2022. The drive to end veteran homelessness has been crucial and gaining energy over the years. But the call is greater than ever, and the state of Minnesota is determined to be the fourth state in the U.S. to declare an end to veteran homelessness. We have a goal of attaining what we call functional zero by the end of 2024. How are we going to do it? One of the keys to ending veteran homelessness is data. We have to know who is experiencing veteran homelessness. Where are they? Where do they want to live? How has this been ongoing? And one of the tools that we use to do that is known as the Homeless Veteran Registry, or the HVR. This really allows us to identify veterans experiencing homelessness, where are they located, what are their financial resources, other things that we need to identify and help resolve their homelessness. As of this past week, January 17th, 2023, there were 318 veterans' names still remaining on the HVR. December 2022 was the second highest inflow of veteran names onto the HVR since its inception almost 8 years ago. So one thing I want to make clear is while the numbers on the HVR have really ebbed and flowed, progress is absolutely being made. the fact that the number has increased doesn't mean that veterans haven't been served or that they're regularly returning to homelessness. Increased efforts around outreach, going out and finding veterans, expanded identification of what it means to be a veteran, that has all aided in the inflow to the Homeless Veteran Registry. In the summer of 2022, MDVA awarded MACV $8.2 million to aid in housing veterans whose homelessness is derived of such barriers that they can't easily access community resources, market rate landlords, things like that. So MACV has stepped up and purchased 5 additional buildings along with the rest of our housing portfolio, with a 6th set to close next week. And I'd like to take a moment to tell you a bit about those assets. Stryker Avenue Apartments offers 7 one-bedroom apartments in St. Paul, and the very first lease at Stryker Apartments was signed August 2nd, 2022. And so what that means is less than 45 days passed between our state allocation and housing our first veteran, and that building was 100% occupied in less than 90 days. Powderhorn Apartments in Minneapolis, first lease was signed August 15th, so again, providing an incredibly swift response to that urgent need to house veterans. 2 of these units are still under construction as we work to provide greater accessibility to those with limited mobility needs. North Star in North Minneapolis provides 8 one-bedroom homes, and the very first veteran moved in just right after New Year's. So happy New Year's to this veteran, and our leasing efforts are ongoing. Arlington House in St. Paul is an asset that was actually donated to us by a previous nonprofit, allowed us to stretch those dollars further. Construction will be underway in the next few weeks, and that will add an additional 16 housing units along with office and community space. Robbins Hotel in the city of Robbinsdale was purchased with the assistance of home ARP funds from our partners within Hennepin County. Reconstruction is anticipated to start approximately July of 2023, and we'll add yet another 16 units. MACV is looking forward to closing on an 8-plex in St. Cloud early next week, and so that will add an additional 8 units of housing, and we're incredibly excited to be expanding even further into greater Minnesota, especially in St. Cloud with its proximity to VA and VA healthcare services. We've added multiple auxiliary dwelling units throughout the Twin Cities, as well as 2 in Duluth, which just received their rental licenses on Friday. So we'll be leasing those up within the next few weeks. Multiple single family homes and single room occupancy options have also been added throughout the state throughout 2022, and more planned. And we're currently working on a partnership with the city of Bloomington with the hope of building onto several vacant parcels up and down Lindale Avenue. So these are some of the initiatives that we've been working on, and we will continue to look to our community and what their changing needs are as we look towards the future. I'd like to share just very briefly with you a story of one of my residents who shared his story with us just last week. Ben's journey started when his lease was set to renew while his wife was very ill and she was hospitalized. He received a rent increase to renew his lease that he was not able to afford while also paying the medical bills of his partner. His wife passed away, and he made the choice after her hospitalization to move to the streets. He did not have the financial income to stabilize elsewhere. Ben really didn't feel safe staying in the shelters. Shelters can be really rough places to live, and so he found ways to cope and to survive. And he shared a story with me how he would take his minimal income and go to McDonald's every morning, and he would purchase a cup of coffee, and he would take as long as he possibly could to sit there and sip that cup of coffee in order to stay in McDonald's and stay warm. Eventually, Ben became connected with MACV. We were able to work with him to gain access to a mental health provider. Ben was really struggling with his depression and anxiety after his wife had passed, and so we were able to support him in stabilizing his mental health. He moved first into one of our transitional homes and now has his own apartments in one of our South Minneapolis permanent supportive housing programs. And so Ben had so many ups and downs, but his story, having that safe place to call home, that's what we ultimately strive for at MACV for every single one of the veterans that we serve. I'm incredibly optimistic that we are on track to reach functional zero in the state of Minnesota by the end of 2024. 427 veterans were housed this past year, and 22 of them were long-term homeless, meaning they had been homeless for at least 1 year or longer. Veterans who accessed housing through MACV's Housing Support Advocacy have less than a 10% recidivism rate for returning to homelessness. In 2022, St. Louis County did declare functional zero, which means now 8 of the 10 continuum of care in the state of Minnesota have declared functional zero, which means at this time we can just really focus our time, energy, and resources primarily throughout Ramsey County and Hennepin County, while of course making sure the rest of the state stays stabilized as well. MACV is currently utilizing two new subsidy programs, MINVEST through the state of Minnesota and the federally funded SSBF shallow subsidies. These offer us tools to provide affordable housing, really keeping housing affordable for our veterans that we house, as well as also adding a financial capability coordinator in January of 2023. And what that means is that this staff can really work with our veterans to access benefits, manage their funds responsibly, save up, and potentially even become homeowners one day. The long-term vision of MACV is that every veteran we serve has a way to afford housing, has the opportunity to access a place to call home, and has the services and supports needed to stay stable in their home. We couldn't do what we do without the people in this room, so we'd like to thank our state partners, MDVA, MHFA, Department of Corrections, DHS, and of course those of you who are in this room. Thank you so much for your support as we drive to make sure that no veteran goes homeless in the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Ms. Riegel. And I'm happy that you're with MACV. You've got a laudable record with Common Bond, and I think that really adds to what MACV needs in terms of housing and knowledge there. So, great.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We have one more person, I think, Greg Peterson. Thank you very much. Peterson, if you would identify yourself for the record, please, and then proceed with your information.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. Greg Peterson, legislative director for the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. And with me is Martin Howes, president of the association, and he's going to lead us off on our presentation. You can see it on your monitors.
Mr. Howes, please identify yourself.
Mr. Chair, my name is Martin Howes. I am the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and committee. I want to say thank you for inviting us to be here at this. This is like a historical presentation for us. It's historical because this is the first time that we have spoken to a legislative committee. It's been our desire for several years to do so, and here we are. So this is great stuff. We are a professional, member-run, 78-year-old state association that has been the premier support organization for 87 county veteran service officers. As was said, joining me is Greg Peterson. He is a past president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, currently the legislative director of our association. And we're going to present you with a brief overview of the association and the achievements of some of our members. Greg?
In his second inaugural address on January 3rd, 1945, Governor Tai, who was a World War I second lieutenant, opened with these profound words, quote, "We meet in troubled times. Thousands of our Minnesota boys are fighting on foreign soil. Many have given their lives for the preservation of the liberties we enjoy. Others will fall. What the cost of this war will be in the lives of our valiant men, none of us can foretell. It will be the job of this legislature, insofar as it may, to prepare for the day when peace comes and the men and women of our armed forces return." Close quotes. 28% of his address stressed the need for the legislature to prepare for the war's end and the return of over 300,000 Minnesota servicemen and women. in just 49 legislative days. House File 441 made it to the governor's desk and became the creation of the County Veteran Service Officer Program.
Mr. Chair, there, as you can see in the slide above there, there are a few statutes that are governing CVSOs, and as they are, I'll provide a brief little summary on them. The CVSO is appointed by the County Board of Commissioners for four-year terms and may only be released for cause upon written charges and a hearing. We like these four-year terms as it keeps the CVSO fresh and focused and on the performance of their duties. Generally, we're compensated similarly to other county officials and of similar responsibilities. The county may exercise a special levy option to fund the department, and every service officer must swear the oath of public officials before assuming their duties. Service officers must be a Minnesota resident, a U.S. citizen, and a veteran defined by state statute. And in some counties, they may share a CVSO. Presently, there are six counties that share, and that is Pope and Stevens, Polk and Red Lake, Travis and Wilkin, and they share one CVSO respectively. So kind of a unique thing there. We aid all residents in obtaining any earned benefits based on military service short of a dishonorable discharge. We will help those with a dishonorable discharges, you know, with regards to like substance abuse disorders and that. And all of our services that we provide are free. We're also the authority concerning data privacy of the documents that are in our possession. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs provides all of the County Veteran Service officers initial, intermediate, and advanced skills training. They will provide temporary staffing assistance during County Veteran Service officer absences. And we've got an excellent working relationship with Commissioner Herkey, his staff, which many of them are former CVSOs as well. This is really a special thing to have when we can have county offices and state offices working together and working for the veterans, being the first ones, you know, boots on the ground. We're the ones that are seeing these veterans first. It's really something special. And to many veterans that are coming into our offices, we're generally known as the VA, but we're not. We're county employees, and we're true advocates for that veteran. We're there, and we're going to be there. We're there for their support and their backbone, and we're guiding them through the, you know, in some cases, the bureaucracy of the federal government at times, because it can get kind of... It can be tricky. So we also have grants that are available through our association and individual offices to enhance our operations that are available. Greg?
Yep, I'm trying to advance the slide. Now it's not moving.
Oh, that's...
There we go. Most of the first CVSOs were veterans of World War One. Some were combat wounded, others were gassed, and they recalled the struggles in seeking benefits and specialized care for their wounds after the war. These newly appointed CVSOs, along with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, which was created 2 years earlier in 1943, came together to develop a standardized process for CVSOs and began what has become a 78-year relationship with the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs and other partners for the betterment of our veterans. The photograph here is a state of Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs with County Veteran Service Officers, 1948 Lowry Hotel.
So from that, in 1968, the association established a committee to look into establishing a national association of veteran service officers. 21 years are going to pass before CVSOs from eight states, which are California, Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Minnesota, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. They met at the Department of Veterans Affairs Regional Office at Fort Snelling. These CVSOs discussed the need to form a national association. Harold Novotny, CVSO from Sherburne County, was appointed the treasurer of this new association of county veteran service officers.
Gentlemen, if I could ask you to speed it up just a little bit. We've only got a couple minutes.
We've got two slides left. Mm-hmm. Just want to tell you about some of our fine CVSOs. Chris Hinton of Waseca County is our national first vice president. He meets with senior VA leaders to discuss policy, programming, and procedural actions. We look forward to him being elected as national president this year in June. Ashley Lagunier, the daughter of Vietnam combat wounded veteran, heads up our national training team. And Mike McLaughlin, also son of a combat wounded veteran, is our national legislative director, who worked tirelessly to see the PACT Act signed into law.
Mr. Chair, every day our service officers help Minnesota veterans with the services provided with dignity and respect. And we frequently meet offsite at Legions and VFW clubs, VA clinics, nursing homes, and we're fiercely patriotic. We're the only veteran service organization that sends service officers out of state to meet with returning soldiers to aid in their post-deployment reintegration. We've developed strategic planning that ensures service officers operate consistently on a core set of standards. Next slide. Our organization has 155 service officers. Our most senior has 31 and a half years of continuous service, and our most junior member began on the same day of this session, January 3rd. So their service spans from the Vietnam War to the Global War on Terrorism, with at least three combat wounded, including former representative Mr. John Creasel, who lost both of his legs in Iraq. Many service officers are drilling members of the National Guard and Reserves and have about half served 20 or more years on active duty. So each of our service officers will tell you that they have the best job in the world, and that is true. With their training, empathy, and perseverance, this brings forth the rightful benefits for our state's valiant heroes. This concludes our presentation, Mr. Chair. We thank you for your time. We thank all of you for your time. We wish you all a wonderful day.
Thank you very much. And I just want to tell the committee, I stepped out briefly to talk with the governor, and he's assured me that he's going to do everything he can to make sure we have the funding for any of the programs that we're looking for. So I encourage all of you, if you have bills or you're thinking of bills, to contact Mr. Diebel, and we'll get started on it, and to really push this year for the veterans. Also, he does want to do the standalone bill this year, so that's encouraging. With that, it's just about the bewitching hours, so the meeting is adjourned.